You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin Wakes Up here. Back to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
7:06 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Hopefully you are having a great start to your Thursday. Hey, it's Friday Eve. I always like to point out the little highlights of life because, well, we all need something to look forward to.
Okay. Well, that's baseline. It's great. That's terrific. It is almost Friday, which is nice. Here's another highlight. If you download the Civic Media app, you can catch up on all the great interviews that we do. You can hear full podcasts. Yesterday, we had a great conversation about Discourse Coffee in Milwaukee becoming unionized with no issues. The ownership actually said, yeah, okay, you guys all want to be a union, we'll take care of you. So you can do that. You can listen to shows, our show, of course. You can take us with you everywhere. You can listen to Nightlight and all the other great shows on the network. And you can listen to some music. So download that because you are going to need it come Monday. Monday, we start a huge multinational.
It's multi-state.
Well, we don't know. Maybe somebody's listening on the app over in Yugoslavia and they go, this is Brian and Jamie, they sound very good. I'm going to enter the contest.
They could do that if they do it through the app.
I don't know who's going to deliver the prize. So it's a multi-state text-to-win contest, but you'll need the app to enter.
Yes.
There's daily cash prizes. There's a huge grand prize. We'll give you more details as it gets closer. But the point is, get the app because you're missing out, and it's free, and it's fun, and there's graphic, and oh, my goodness.
There's all sorts of things happening over there. And when it comes to the Text to Win contest that starts on Monday, you're going to have multiple chances to qualify for daily cash prizes and then, of course, the big grand prize. So imperative at this point that you have your app, you know how it runs, and you're ready to roll on Monday so that you can, you know, get in on all this.
And if you're a listener of a certain age, and I understand I am of a certain age and technology sometimes is scary, find a young person on the street, accost them, and say, listen, youngster. Walk up to an Amish-looking man in a plaid shirt. He wanders up and down the State Street of Madison and say to him, you look like Parker. Parker, explain this to me. Get me this app. Where do I go? Do I go to the grocery store? Can I get this app?
No, old man, you can't go to the grocery store.
Where do I buy this app?
You just go to your app store. You can get it wherever you get your apps.
Can you give me directions to the app store? Because
It's a little box. It's probably at the bottom of your phone screen. You have to be in the home screen. You'll figure it out. I trust.
You know, I have to be at home to get this app.
I heard Jamie
say I could use it anywhere. Brian said something about Yugoslavia.
Hey,
you could text
from Yugoslavia. I know we have international listeners sometimes. It's possible.
Of course.
Yes.
Do you know what the best part about this entire conversation is? Watching the pain on Parker's face because it's obvious he's been through a conversation exactly like this in real life, not just for a radio bit.
I have too. I've been in Parker's shoes with this. Going, no,
yeah.
Forget it. You don't need it.
Just go to your app store, look up Civic Media. You'll find it. Find a station, hit that text feature, and then you text in a keyword. Oh, boy.
Key? That's what I have to text?
No, please. Just spell the word right. That's all I ask.
R-I-G-H-T.
Good job, Brian. You get a cookie.
Okay, I spelled the word right. You heard him, Jamie.
You did.
That's what he asked for. Hey, we're laughing now, but if you voted in Milwaukee, goodness, you should be a little worried because the FBI, the feds, nearly 180,000 Milwaukee voters who cast absentee ballots during the 2020 presidential election could have their voting information exposed if federal investigators demand certain election records. Oh, let's go back. The president continues to relitigate the 2020 election after years of investigations, recounts, court cases. You know there is no proof, none, of widespread election fraud yet. On February 23rd, while honoring Angel families, he again claimed the election was rigged. Cut four.
And I'm here now, and it's a much more powerful term than my second term would be. And much more powerful. And one of the reasons is everybody sees how bad they were. And I had to go through, and I still do, fake stories, fake polls. I mean, I had polls for the election that showed I was going to get swamped, and I won in a landslide. They were fake polls because polls are tough, you know, when you get a fake poll. I get them today. I saw one today that I'm at 40%. 40%. I'm not at 40%. I'm at much higher than that. I'm not talking politics. I'm just talking life. That election, if it wasn't rigged, it was a rigged election by millions and millions of votes. A guy that never left his basement. It was all run by crooked people. COVID was a little bit of a shield. We had a lot of things going on. But it was rigged by millions of votes. We did great in that election.
Wait,
if
it
that
was rigged
election
by-
wasn't rigged, every single one of the people in this room right now would not be here. You'd be home with your son, daughter, family.
Huh?
Oh. There's a lot to parse through.
He's a rambling, incoherent...
That was to angel families, too, by the way, which I'm sure they... anyway.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that.
Yes. You know, and here's the thing. This president does continue to relive 2020 over and over and over.
Wow.
We are 6 years past it. There is nothing that has not been looked at, examined, debunked, that would indicate that there was any sort of fraud or manipulation or any sort of rigged election that happened along the way. And we know that there is concern because the FBI issued a grand jury subpoena in Maricopa County, Arizona, seeking voting data related to the 2020 election. That actually makes Arizona the second battleground state where federal investigators have demanded election records. We saw what happened in Fulton County, Georgia, where authorities seized hundreds of boxes of materials from that warehouse, which was another key state in the 2020 election. Now,
yeah, Jamie, do you think he... No, I have a legit question.
Yes, okay.
Do you think he believes that if he can somehow prove that the 2020 election was rigged, he will get another term? But he's already served two terms, so legally he
I just don't think this
legally he's not allowed to. But
I just don't think this is a man whose ego can handle the fact that he lost. I honestly think that is part of it, based on the fact
that... Is that why he keeps his hair, too?
Probably. On the fact that he just went through that entire... when we were listening to that clip from February 23rd about the polls, how he's not actually down to 40%. I actually think this is a man who thinks that he is much loved. I think... And he is, by some of his supporters. I'm not going to deny that. But I think this is a man who thinks that he is much bigger than what he's an enigma. I think that's what he puts
himself
in.
Illusions of grandeur,
yeah.
I think, is what you're looking for.
Yes, thank you. But I actually don't think he can handle the fact that he lost. And I think that's where this all stems from, because he had beaten Hillary Clinton the election before. I think he honestly thinks he did a really great job pulling this country through COVID. Of course, he'll tell you that he did what no president had ever done before, which he does on multiple things. But I honestly think it was all about the fact that he lost publicly. And to him, that is humiliating. His ego will not allow that.
He didn't win the last election in a landslide.
No.
Just another point of clarification, but
yeah,
why bother?
Now, here in Wisconsin, Brian, let's be clear, there is no similar action like what we've seen in Maricopa County or in Fulton County, but elections officials say that they are watching this very closely in case this investigation expands to Milwaukee. Now, if federal investigators request records from Milwaukee, it could involve poll books and roughly 176,000 absentee ballots that were actually counted at the city's central counting facility during the 2020 election. And let's be clear, our laws here in Wisconsin convolute this. They make it very hard. There's been GOP and Democratic support to basically streamline central count, to allow counting to start happening earlier. None of those have gotten through the state legislature. But Wisconsin law right now requires absentee ballots counted at central locations to include poll list numbers, which correspond with the poll book records. And all of those numbers could potentially allow investigators caters to match ballots with specific voters, raising concerns about voter privacy. All of that was done to debunk, by the way, any claims that yes. anything nefarious happened in 2020. Now, Milwaukee Election Commission Executive Director Paulina Gutierrez said that protecting voter privacy is the top priority, and the city is monitoring the situation very carefully. And normally, ballots from elections older than 5 years would have been destroyed under state law, but the 2020 ballots still exist because, obviously, there's still been ongoing lawsuits, yes. challenges, all aspects of that particular election. Some election officials say that the combination of poll books and ballots could theoretically reveal how someone voted, which is normally protected by ballot secrecy. And, of course, we know that ballots in Milwaukee are part of the same votes in Milwaukee and Dane counties that Donald Trump challenged during the 2020 election when he actually requested a recount and paid for that. And remember, associated with that recount, Brian, going way back in time, there's been several people who have lost law licenses because yeah. of that. There's been people who have ended up losing positions of power because of that recount. And yet here we are. But I think this is interesting because Donald Trump has been rolling out the same claims about the election for a very long time. So we're going to go into our Wayback Machine here for a moment. And we're going to go back to November 5th, 2020, as he addressed the nation as those election results began shifting towards Joe Biden. This is Donald Trump from 2020. This is Cut 5 and what he had to say.
We also had margins of 300,000 and Michigan, we're way up in Michigan, won the state. And in Wisconsin, we did likewise fantastically well. And that got whittled down. In every case, they got whittled down.
Yes, because that's how counting works.
Yeah, vote. Well, Matt, Jamie, you've said it for yourself. And I also agree, math is hard.
It is hard.
So if I was winning at one point, I should stay winning. Why don't we just stop counting then? I'm up. That's good enough.
It's amazing. You go to bed, you're winning, you wake up, the counting has proceeded while you've been sleeping. And
are you
then
talking about ballot dumps, Jamie? Ballot dumps are, you know, all of a sudden, where'd these all come from? I don't know. Because of Wisconsin's law where you can't count the ballots until, you know, election day.
Yeah.
So that's where they came from.
Mm-hmm. Now, in case anybody's wondering, Tony Evers actually, in a dress yesterday, he gave some brief remarks to the press.
In a dress, or Tony Evers was wearing a dress?
It sounded like you said,
Tony Evers in a dress yesterday. I was like, wow, he really has given up in his final term.
He has. he said his administration will actually resist any efforts by the FBI to seize voting documents if federal authorities expand their probe of the 2020 election results to Wisconsin. Tony Evers actually at a podium said he was PO'd by all of this.
And that's a quote.
I will not put up with these shenanigans.
And yes, Barker, that was a quote. He was PO'd yesterday when he was addressing the press. But, you know, they've been trying to get the administration, trying to get Wisconsin's voter rolls for quite some time. They have been making threats to Tony Evers, to Milwaukee County officials. And so far, Tony Evers has stood firm. He has said that he will not hand those over. And, you know, there's been a lot of people have said, well, like, you know, if you don't have anything to hide, just hand over the polls and the results. It's not what this is about.
That's the worst justification that people use for everything. If you got nothing to hide, you got nothing to hide. Going back real quick, we have a new texter who's listening in Madison. For the record, the attack on higher education started with Ronald Reagan. Maybe that's true. Why not? For some reason, people don't like it. Hey, we gotta get to it.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Thank you so much for joining us. It is 7:22 right now, and it is time for Swipe or Stay. Our senior producer, Frank, is going to join us because we are going to talk something that is non-political for exactly 7 minutes, and we're going to enjoy every second of it. Good morning. How are you today?
Morning, Frank.
I'm good. I think we enjoy it every morning, right?
We do.
I do.
We do. Absolutely. What do we
have? If you haven't heard it before, this is Swipe or Stay. I'm going to read some vague pop culture headlines. Brian and Jamie will have to decide whether they want to stay and hear more or swipe on to the next story in the event of a tie. Parker will be our tiebreaker and make the decision himself. Let's move on to story number one. The Oscars announced new musical plans for Sunday.
Well, I always go back to the Rob Lowe Snow White musical number, so I'm going to stay.
You know, I think we need some good Oscars news. It's getting close. I'll stay.
Okay. So the producers for the 98th Academy Awards have confirmed that we will have musical spotlights that go beyond performances for Sinners and K-pop Demon Hunters. Instead of presenting each Best Original Song nominee with a traditional live performance, producers have created cinematic segments that highlight how music shaped the storytelling in select films. Now,
that sounds complicated. Can we just play some music?
Now, previously, last year, the Oscars always had, especially for like Best Original Song, you went up and performed it.
Yeah,
right.
Is why we got the masterpiece, which was Ryan Gosling doing I'm Just Ken from
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, we did not have any of those. They erased it. And it was they used the excuse that it was they wanted to use more of that time to promote funds for the wildfires that affected California.
Oh, right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look like we're getting full performances again this year for every Best Original Song. Which
did somebody
weird.
Start a fire?
Yeah, I don't know. But we are getting more production. They're being very vague with it, but I am very interested to see.
All right.
I do kind of wish they went back to the performances, though. I feel like they pick and choose. If there was a good one, they would have had them perform.
Maybe that's because the ratings keep getting lower every year, and it keeps getting longer every year. So they have to figure out a way to like combo the two. By the way, Mr. Plowking over on our social media feed says that every time we play this game, he always hears Dora yelling at the fox, "Swipe or stay."
Swipe or no swiping. Swipe or no swiping. That's right, Mr. Plowking. We are all about Dora and exploring.
I loved Dora, by the way. My kids did too. Anyway, just had to throw that in there because it made me chuckle this morning.
At least with the Oscars, Conan O'Brien is hosting again, which I am happy about.
Always good. Love Conan.
All right, we're going to move on to story number two. Jack Osbourne makes tribute to Dad.
Swipe.
Okay. Man. With a bit of an eye roll there.
I'm tired of hearing about the Osbournes. I hate that Ozzy isn't with us anymore. I'm tired of hearing about Kelly being too thin. And yeah, I'm ready to move on. Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
The Michael Jackson biopic has created some turmoil.
Oh, I'm going to stay.
Yeah, I know this story. Stay.
So the Michael Jackson biopic is creating some internal turmoil in the Jackson family. Now, the movie is not out yet, but the movie was recently screened exclusively for the Jackson family, and now we have two family members that are fighting over it. Can we guess? Jamie says she already read this and knows. Brian, can you guess which Jacksons are fighting?
About the film. Jacksons are fighting about the film? I'm going to say Tito, just because I love to throw Tito some attention every once in a while. Tito and Janet.
You got half right. Janet is part of it, and apparently Janet is the problem.
Okay. Wow.
Miss Jackson, if you're nasty, Frank.
Sorry, Miss Jackson. Jermaine and Janet do not see eye to eye on it, according to insider sources. The source said that Janet was the only person who reacted negatively after the family's preview, saying even Janet's boyfriend cheered and said, "Now that's a movie."
Oh, wow.
Now, Jermaine's son, Jafar, is the star of the movie, so he stood up and gave a standing ovation.
Well, of course.
Jafar?
Jafar.
That's his name?
Jafar Jackson, yes.
And Janet Jackson declined to be a part of the production and is not featured in the movie at all.
Yeah, she's had some interesting... She's been interesting in the entire Michael Jackson saga. She was out for a little bit. Then she was very close to the kids for a little bit. then she had her own child, and she stayed kind of off to the side for a while. Mm-hmm. And so now, obviously, she's embroiled back into the drama of the Jackson family. Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of rumors of jealousy mm-hmm. with their relationship for years. So this isn't too surprising, but.
Yeah.
All right.
But at least the movie looks good to most of the family members.
Especially Jafar, Parker, who starred in it.
I suppose. Parker, do we have time for one more?
We got one more quick one, yeah.
One more quick one. All right. American Idol winner bashes the show.
Swipe.
Okay. Ticket website is forced to pay up.
We talked about this yesterday, didn't we?
Nope. This is
no,
different.
We talked about
I'll stay.
Lawsuit.
I'll stay.
I'm going to swipe. I want Parker to get involved.
I'm swiping.
Ooh, that's two days in a row. He sided with me.
Lord, Oscar-nominated actor explains his eviction.
Oh, let's stay.
Oh, now we're okay.
Yeah, because he's evicted. I want to see a man on the street who's all he's got. He's like the jerk. He's walking around. He's got his Oscar. That's all I need is this
Speaking
Oscar.
Of jerk, Mickey Rourke is back in the news, at least this time for something that isn't exactly controversial. He wants to set the record straight about being evicted from his home. Rourke was evicted from his house after withholding over $60,000 in rent payments, and now he has come out to set the record straight that it was a rodent problem. And it wasn't getting fixed, and that's why he withheld the money. It's not because he didn't have it. Duh.
Did he create the rodent problem? Rourke. I have questions.
Probably.
I have questions.
All right. Well, that's Swiper Stay. Thanks, Frank. Always a pleasure. When we come back, there's a new state-funded program to make childcare a little easier. We'll talk about that and more. It's Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
Local voices and statewide impact. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
7:35 right now. Well, now we know why in the show within the show, Parker quit listening because he had that little little Jackson 5 ditty up his sleeve there. So appreciate
that. Oh, sure.
That was good. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Civic Media Network. If you're listening in La Crosse on WLCX or in Wisconsin Rapids this morning on WFHR or here in Madison on WMDX, we do appreciate it. And just a little housekeeping note that if you are in Madison and listening on WMDX at 8 o'clock, you will be going to the Stephanie Miller Show. If you are listening anywhere else on the network, you're going to stay right here with Daybreak. Of course, if you are in Madison and you want to keep listening to the show and hear all the great stuff Brian and I have to say, then we would encourage you to go get that Civic Media app. You can download that for free in your Apple or your Google Play Store. And then, of course, as we like to say, take us wherever you go, whether that's home.
Except the bathroom. Or...
That's weird.
Don't listen to us.
Yeah, don't do that.
No, we
and don't tell us if you do that.
Yes, you're going to need the app.
You're going to need that app come Monday. A big, big multi-state text to win contest begins on Monday. The only way to enter is through that free app. So go get the app now and be ready to go. And then not only will you be set for the contest, but you can go back and listen to some fantastic interviews we did. We had a really interesting talk yesterday about NILs and a bill that's in the Wisconsin Senate now that needs to be passed. There's all of those in there. So there's a lot of interesting things on the app. And as Forrest Gump would say, and that's all I have to say about that.
Well, and I would also say, too, because I don't want Frank to yell at me later because we gotta keep talking about this. We need you to go check out our Facebook page. If you like what you're hearing on the show, you want to hear more of all of the, I'll say shenanigans that we're up to, then you can go check us out on Facebook and also on Instagram, Daybreak with Brian and Jamie. Just do a quick search. We would appreciate a quick follow. We're trying to build some things from scratch, Brian.
I know.
It's like we're begging.
Oh, it's so easy to build social media from scratch.
It's like we're begging. Please like us.
Yeah. It's. Well, listen. A little more good news. We had some good news earlier that Tony Evers signed a bill into law for extending the time limit to bring charges for second-degree sexual assault. This is a lot different than that, but still good news, because after a few years, difficult few years for childcare across the country, last summer, Wisconsin lawmakers launched Get Kids Ready. It's a state-funded 4K program meant to support providers and increase the number of students enrolled in four-year-old kindergarten, because kids need to get started earlier. Mm-hmm. Parents need childcare. You need to structure it. And it has been very tough. I'm sure you've heard us talk about it, other shows talk about it. The lack of, first of all, the cost of childcare for families. Second of all, the lack of actual childcare providers, because guess what? It's a low-paying gig, mm-hmm. and it's an important gig, but we have a shortage. But this is supposed to help, this Get Kids Ready program.
Yeah, so it essentially allows licensed childcare centers to offer free 4K classes instead of families relying only on programs run directly by school districts. And to participate, centers have to meet certain requirements, including hiring teachers with college degrees, following early childhood education standards, and also providing at least 437 hours of learning time during the day. And in return, or during the year, I should say, and in return, that'd be a long day.
That's a
like,
lot of,
it's like
man,
one of
for
my
a
days. It's like one of my
it's
days.
Like, hold on.
And in return, the state provides funding for each student enrolled, helping childcare centers cover the cost of providing education. I think this is a great program. I know that for some places and some child care centers and for some families, this is still not going to go far enough, right. As far as what we can do to make sure we're alleviating some of those costs and some of the headaches that have gone into the child care system. But at the same time, I feel like this is at least a start to something. And I know there's been a lot of centers who have had to close their doors. I know that's put a lot of families in a pinch. But at the same time, this is also... These programs also take some sort of movement on legislature from the legislation, mm-hmm. right? And so if you're trying to work with the Republicans, if you're the Democrats, you're trying to give and take where possible while still knowing that it probably doesn't go far enough, but they know they've at least got a starting point to at least start helping some of these families and some of these centers.
And if you're thinking, well, if there's programs at the school, why do the daycare centers mm-hmm. need to do it? Public school 4K programs are usually half day. So if you're working, that doesn't really help. Plus, you have to get transportation. You have yep. to all the little logistical things that go with your kid only going to school from 9 to 11:30 or 8:30 to 12, whatever that is. Whereas with this program, the daycare facilities would offer this 4K program for the entire day. So it would be just like when your child was three and you drop them off and pick them up after work. It's the same thing, but now they're getting a more structured learning environment along with the familiarity of being right. at the same center with the same people. And because at four, you don't want, you know, I've seen four-year-olds come into pre-K and preschool, and it's, man, it's hard because they don't know people. They don't know right. how to act. It is.
Yeah.
It's really difficult.
It's hard being four. I get it. Now, I will say this. I stayed at home with my kids mostly because of the cost of childcare. Because mm-hmm. at the point where we were at when our boys were really young, it didn't make any sense for me to continue to work and then to send them to childcare because I would have actually been spending more than I was making.
Yeah.
And in Wisconsin, I did a little digging into the numbers. It is incredibly expensive. If you're somebody who's never had children in childcare or it's been a while since you've had your children in childcare,
let
me refresh your memory here. Because for infants, families are often paying between $13,000 and nearly $17,000 a year, which is roughly about $1,200 to more than $2,000 a month for full-time care. Even for older kids, like toddlers or four-year-olds, Brian, the costs mm-hmm. are still high, often between $12,000 and $15,000 a year. And on a weekly wow. basis, that's about $260 a week for infants and about $236 a week for toddlers. And in some places, like if you're looking at Milwaukee, for instance, the cost can be even higher, more than $16,000 a year for infant care. Now, again, remember, this is an average across the board. It's going to vary in different places sure. in the state. But for a lot of families, that's one of the biggest bills that they're paying every single month. For some families, that's like rent or part of your mortgage,
yeah,
right?
Of
I
course.
Mean, that's incredibly, those are high numbers. But here's
a
the
lot of it. A lot of parents, it's about 20%
yeah.
of their yearly income is spent on childcare.
Yeah.
20%.
it's a lot. And
well, if you can't afford it, maybe you should have thought of that before you had kids.
And here's the thing that we don't realize, and you alluded to this, right? Child care providers can't really afford to lower their prices because of the fact that it's a very labor-intensive industry that needs a lot of regulation. There's a lot of teacher-to-child ratios, and there's very strict laws about that in the state, especially for infants. In fact, in Wisconsin, one teacher can only care for four infants at a time, which means you're providers are going to need more staff. There's staff wages that have to make up a majority of their operating costs. Obviously, if you know how to run a business or you've ever been involved in any sort of industry, you know that the costs continue to compound, especially when you're trying to, especially like childcare, where there's so many state standards that you have to reach and so many laws and rules, you know, in order to be to continue to be licensed as a childcare provider. It's I can't imagine. This is why I chose to stay at home.
It's the cost. And I listen, Molly hasn't been in childcare since 2001, 2002. So mm-hmm. it's been a while. And even then it was we were near one of those. There weren't a lot of like in-home daycare places or so. She went to one of those chain franchise deals. And it was nice. We were very happy with it. But it was, you know. It was not cheap.
Right.
And it was, but that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
You know, if two people are working and it's, you know, the days of, I'm sure it was difficult for you financially when you're staying home, but nowadays, if you're used to having two incomes and two incomes now is the norm, let's be honest, there's not a lot of people who live in that old paradigm of, well, one spouse goes to work and brings home, they're the breadwinner and the other spouse stays home. That really doesn't exist anymore.
No.
So you have to be out there working. And just because you don't have a lot of money doesn't mean you shouldn't be able to have a child.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know.
I mean, and you know, that's one thing too. I talk with friends. I have friends who have littles yet all across this country. Some of them work. Some of them have chose to stay home. Some of them do an offset schedule with their significant others so that one can be home during the day or however mm-hmm. they've decided to work it. But the one thing that I also hear is not only is it the cost, but it's the fact that then if they do find a center, sometimes the list to get yes. into that center are miles and sometimes months or even closer to a year or more long because there's such a need for
demand.
Good quality child care. And I think that's essentially where, you know, a program like this Get Ready program can help, especially if you're looking at your four-year-olds being able to be in a school setting all day long and getting not only care, but the education that, you know, we feel like helps them give them a leg up and things as they get into school.
It 100% does. You know, like I said, you see, and I've been in the, I've had to fill in numerous times in pre-K, and man, you talk about tired at the end of the day. I was beat. All these little knee-high people running around screaming.
Yeah.
There's crying. There's it, and then they all want to hug you, and I'm like, not
and
that I don't like.
And sometimes that all happens within a couple of minutes from the same child.
Minutes. This is seconds. It's like.
Yeah.
But they do need, it's important, all of those, whether it's a daycare center, whether you're going into 4K programs, it does help a child. And it also helps the parents because there's somewhere they can trust to go. So they're going to try to iron this out. They got to see how many families are going to join because, of course, that means how much providers will mm-hmm. get as far as money per student. So it's still all in the works, but it's promising. It's promising. We talked earlier about how the government doesn't really, the federal government
sure.
doesn't seem to care about making people's lives easier. At least on a state level, we're trying.
I have a question for you as a former
yes.
teacher. Does this, a schedule like this, if they did 4K all day, does that give the teacher more flexibility from where you came from?
I mean, our pre-K was half days.
Okay.
And but I think in the daycare center, the more I was reading about this, they can move the learning times around. So you can still have your nap time and your snack time and your play time.
Mm-hmm.
And it all kind of weaves together anyway. So it does give more flexibility because you're not trying to cram
sure.
everything into 2 hours. Plus, it gives the kids more time to get used to because kindergartens our kindergarten was full day. So you start getting the kids ready to, oh, I'm going to have to do this because kids get tired. Yeah. After lunch in kindergarten, kids are exhausted. So am I.
Right.
You know, it's time to.
And let's be realistic. When we're talking 4 and 5 year olds, if you've ever been a parent and you remember those days, their attention span is pretty short anyway. Oh. So you have to have a lot of activity crammed in. And plus, there has to be time for play and that hands on and them using their imaginations. And yes, there has to be all of that. Here's the thing. I give so much credit to teachers. I really, truly do. I homeschooled my kids for completely different reasons, but I had friends who were teachers that I relied on to help me get through that process. And I had my own too. So I know what I felt like at the end of the day. So if you're a teacher or know somebody who is, kudos to you. You will always have my respect and my gratitude for what you do on a daily basis.
Buy a teacher a drink on a Friday if you run into them at a tavern. They definitely need it. When we come back, this is going to surprise you. ICE got all kinds of new vehicles, but for some reason they don't want to use them. And so now they sit. We'll talk about that after this. It's Daybreak, and this is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Now back to more of Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
It's 7:52 right now. We hope that your morning is off to a great start. Beautiful day in downtown Madison. Hopefully it is equally nice where you're at. I do know that we have some much colder air coming in and maybe some potential for snow over the next few days because fake spring, it is here. It's that time of year. We're going to get those on and off until finally one day it's 90 and we forgot that spring existed. Right. That's what happens in the Midwest.
And if you want to keep track of all that, Jamie, you could download the Civic Media app. Look at that tie-in. Get it. It's free. It's at the App Store, Google, Apple App Store, anywhere. Get the free app because you're going to need it on Monday. Why? Well, there's a big multi-state text to win. You want more details? Well, then keep listening. But all you need to know right now is download the app and then go to Facebook and Instagram and subscribe to our social media pages because we're desperate. We're thirsty.
We are.
We need your love to fill the big empty hole that's inside of all of us.
We have a void.
Yeah, we have a void, and it can only be filled by subscribers on social media, people we've never met who either tell us they like us or they hate us. Either way, we're fine. You know what's not fine? I'm blasting through because I love this story.
This story's great.
And I don't want to see Parker lassoing a calf in there trying to tell me to wrap it up.
Right. So let's go. This is good.
Not to the point, old man. After spending millions of taxpayer dollars, not on lobster tail and crabs like Pete Hegseth, but this is on a fleet of new vehicles with Donald Trump-inspired paint jobs. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or do you call it ICE, ICE agents reportedly don't want to drive them, Jamie, because, well, they tend to work undercover.
What I love about this story is you have to go all the way back to last summer, and I remember this video so well because I remember thinking, what in the hell am I watching? But it was this really very overproduced promotional video, and it was a Ford Raptor pickup and a GMC Yukon SUV.
Bro.
Right, and they were rolling around Washington, D.C. with my favorite music from DaBaby. Baby playing, and there was these close-up images.
What baby? Who had a baby that could sing? I want to put them on a TV show. I want to make a big star. If a baby could sing, that's amazing. Most babies just puke and poop themselves, but I, like me, but I just want a baby who can sing. Go ahead with the story.
So there was these close-up images of these navy blue paint jobs with red and white racing stripes and the gold seal because everything's got to have gold
on it, bro.
And the words "Defend the Homeland" appear across the side and President Donald J. Trump printed in gold on a rear window. If you
As Ricky Bobby would say, this windshield decal is very, very dangerous.
So you can actually find the video online if you just do a search. It's a thing. It still exists. So Homeland Security's preview of its new fleet with paint jobs designed to look like the president's private jet, by the way, costs more than $700,000.
Right on.
The government ultimately spent more than $2 million buying up hundreds of new cars with custom wraps, according to contracts that have been reviewed by independent press, including The Independent.
What do you think, fellas? We got the new vehicles for you. Pretty spiffy, huh?
As you alluded to, though, Brian, officers don't actually want anything to do with these cars. They don't want them whatsoever. Okay. One person familiar with the purchase told the Washington Examiner, ICE has never had marked vehicles. Quote, in talking to people, they're like, we don't want to use these. We can't. Another person said they're ridiculous to drive around because, well, marked cars, you don't want to advertise what you're doing when you happen to be an ICE agent.
It's like wearing a clown suit. Hey, look at us, kids. Come on in. We're trying to round up the worst of the worst. You didn't know we were coming, did we? No, it was your shoes squeaking and honk, honk, honk. We didn't know, Sideshow Bob. Come and arrest me.
So ICE has denied any suggestion that their new vehicles aren't being used. In fact, they say that any allegation that they're not being used is absolutely false, that ICE is a law enforcement agency, and like all other law enforcement agencies, they have a fleet of vehicles that include branding, and in this particular case, for ICE.
Jamie, point of order, if
okay,
I may.
Please.
I watched a lot of videos from the ICE occupation of Minneapolis. This lie gave me a stroke, finally. I finally had a stroke. None of those vehicles that the ICE agents pulled up in had any markings whatsoever.
No.
They were black SUVs with blacked out windows, and they showed up. Now, you could argue that that's marking when you're in a completely black vehicle. Even if you look at the SUVs in a presidential motorcade.
Right.
They don't have things on them. The Beast has the seal of the president on it, but the other law enforcement, the Secret Service vehicles do not.
Right.
So I've never seen one of these, admittedly, sweet rides.
No.
Driving around.
Here's the thing that I think bothers me the most. Not only is this story ridiculous, that bothers me, but the second The second one is the fact that, is anybody else bothered by the fact that the government spent more than $2 million on these vehicles at taxpayer expense through the big, beautiful bill, and the paint job alone is going to cost $700,000? Anybody concerned about that?
No, and are you also concerned that the no-bid contracts went to big Republican donors to buy these vehicles?
Well, of course, because that would be just in par with how this administration operates. And because that's how they bought them, as you so nicely put. The contracts were for basically Republican donors in order for them to get the cars. And in fact, government documents that were reviewed last summer, it looks like ICE was going to try to scoop up about 100 vehicles every 60 days, every 60 days, with no bid contracts calling for a minimum of 1,000 vehicles with this new Trump-inspired livery on it.
This is my favorite purchase, though. Two Mustang GT Fastback Coupes. There was an immediate request by the White House. So you know Christy Noman, Corey Lewandowski just wanted to drag race. They were just, two sweet rides.
They're probably matching his and hers.
They are. They have the matching red, white, and blue flames and Donald Trump's head on the hood. Beautiful.
Wow.
Hey, the third hour's coming. If you're on MDX and you want to listen, you can do it on the app. So jump over there now. When we come back, the Supreme Court in Wisconsin is arguing over state settlement funds. We'll get to that and so much more. It's Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.